Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. It's the download with Justin Kaufman on most nights. But he heard Donald Trump was giving a big speech and he said, I'm getting the hell out of there. Hi, Esmeralda. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. Plan your home improvement and DIY projects Sunday mornings on WGN TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini at 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11. In my spare time, I'm also the broadcast editor for DNAinfo.com. They did a fascinating story this week on this Array of Things project and all of these sensors that are being put in all around Chicago that are going to measure all sorts of crazy, awesome things to help us out in our day-to-day lives. From Argonne National Laboratory, a gentleman named Pete Beckman is very involved with this project, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing fine, thank you.
Excellent. The Array of Things project is going to put, over the next couple of years, 500 sensors around the city of Chicago. It's going to take pictures of the sky. It's going to measure air quality. They're going to be able to see how much pedestrian traffic is going along certain corridors. The story I read said that maybe even, like, with this incredible amount of data we're going to have, the city could figure out dangerous intersections before accidents happen. Because think about it, if there's a somewhat dangerous intersection, maybe there's a bunch of times where people slam on the brakes or narrowly swerve out of the way of accidents. And then you don't bother reporting it because you're just thankful you didn't get in an accident. All sorts of possibilities coming from this. Tell me a little bit about this project, Pete.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of use case that we're looking at. Imagine we have sort of driver-assisted cars now where you won't, if you're driving along and there's a car that stops in front of you, your car can either, slow down or you can be notified when there's a dangerous situation. This sort of machine intelligence is being built into things. So wouldn't it be great if the city sort of had this kind of intelligence? And the example you gave is one that we're looking at, which is, can we imagine where, if cars are kind of sliding into the intersection on a snowy day, that the sensors are able to detect, hey, this intersection is getting really bad here. People are sliding across that stop line. Maybe we need to, notify folks to put some extra salt down. That's the kind of smart city that the project is all about.
Who is funding all this, and who is going to crunch all this data?
Good question. So the platform, which is the sort of the computing piece that goes up on the pole, is a project that I lead out of Argonne National Laboratory, and that project developed this platform, this computer that sits up on the pole, and we lovingly call it Waggle. But then the National Science Foundation, in a project that Charlie Catlett leads, is exploring the idea of smart cities and said, hey, how about if we take this platform and the National Science Foundation with the University of Chicago deploys this and puts that out into the city, and let's see what kind of great science we can do.
And how long do we expect this project to go? I know the sensors are going to take a couple of years. Are sensors forever until they break down, or will funding come in to try to keep this going forever and ever? What's the long-term goal?
Well, we hope that, just like our cell phones, in a year or two, we hope for a new one. And so the same is true in terms of sensing technology. We'll put sensors up, but we hope that we can continue to work to put in even, more advanced sensors. The project's going to last about 3 years, the initial part of the project, but we're, really excited about the kinds of things that universities are working on with respect to sensors. We have a partner at University of Illinois in Chicago, and they're working on a really small sensor that measures methane, along with Argonne National Lab, another sensor that measures particles in the air. And so this revolution in lightweight sensing could really benefit us if we keep putting out the latest technology.
Yeah, I mean, what's your greatest hope for this? And what do you see changing over the years as technology gets better? Like, is there anything not in these sensors right now that you're thinking, boy, I really wish we had that?
Well, right now, the particle sensors that we're fielding, that we're putting up there, are I'd say, sort of classic, and they're expensive. And, they're about $400 a piece, and we can't really afford to put them in every unit that goes out. But there's miniaturization happening and new technology happening all the time. And, you know, if there's a way to develop a $5 or a $10 sensor that does the same sort of thing for particles, that would be fantastic. You know, knowing, you know, what kind of pollutants we're breathing. Some of the sensors are experimental already. We're working with Intel and a company called SPEC. And they have, you know, things that measure nitrogen dioxide, hydrogen sulfide. These are all things, pollutants, that we care about. And, of course, the smart city part of looking at intersections and looking at what's happening, hearing noises, you know, do we have wildlife around? You know, what sorts of sound profile do we get in the city? Those are all things that we can use to make the city better.
And what do you think is the end of this? What happens when you see the color of the sky or when you see the pollutants in the particles? More legislation or companies realizing they have to change their ways? I mean, is the hope just we get the data and then what is done with it is really not our job? We hope that people take it and crunch it and use it to their benefit?
Yeah, well, so initially, I mean, this really is a science project in the sense that we're going to collect data, and you said, you know, who's crunching the data? Well, it'll be scientists all over the country, really, because the data is public through a portal so that data about the pollutants that are found in the air and the temperature, humidity, pressure can be looked at by a wide range of scientists. But initially, it will start to understand what happens in this sort of, you know, what people refer to as the urban canyon, right? So, you know, in places of the city, we have certain kinds of airflow and certain issues, certain traffic patterns and so forth. So, you know, I can imagine, you know, a little bit futuristic here, but that the city has a little bit more of an automated feel, that we understand, oh, there's an enormous, wonderful party happening at Millennium Park, and so automatically when people start leaving that the city is able to respond and change light timings or improve other things. You know, there's just so much we can imagine that with a little bit more data that we can improve for ourselves.
A texter asks you to please reassure them that the sensors have good security so that the data they provide can't be manipulated. And I know that there's safeguards in place. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, so, you know, the kinds of things that we want to sense, like, you know, there's flooding is a really bad problem where, you know, sewage has backs up into people's basements. You know, it's happened. I live in the burbs, but it's happened in my basement. It's pretty nasty. And understanding when there's standing water, that can be, you know, and when water's accumulating on streets so that the city can start to understand, you know, the hydrological model. We do that with a camera, with an image. And there's a machine learning, there's a computer program that looks at that image and says, oh, there's water. And there's, you know, we estimate that it's, you know, 3 inches deep. And then that number, you know, the value of that is what's sent up and recorded in the data set. And so that's one of the ways that we, you know, improve the security and the privacy of the system. The other is that the nodes are, you know, extremely well designed from a sort of a cybersecurity perspective. It's set up so that they know exactly who they're transmitting their data to in a very secure way. And we're working, AT&T is our partner in data transmission, and so they've been helping quite a bit.
And as I understand, the photos will be kept for like 3 seconds, the data extracted from it, but license plates, facial images, none of that will be available for people to look at, correct?
Yeah, that stuff isn't public. And, you know, This whole new world of you know, machine learning and automation and what we can do with computers is sort of startling everyone. I mean, the idea of autonomous cars, you know, 10 years ago, we would have said, oh, no, you're still watching a Jetsons cartoon, right? You know, this can't happen. But the way, you know, the way an autonomous car works is that it knows what a stop sign looks like, right? It's not saving that and putting it on a server somewhere. It recognizes a stop sign with some software and then says, okay, I better stop. And so that's the stuff we're working on, is how can we develop these filters that will tell us, oh, we have standing water, or, oh, cars are sliding into the intersection, or, you know, hey, we have some very weird thunderheads, you know, some interesting storms up overhead. As you said, one of the cameras is pointing up so we can understand some of the localized weather patterns.
Pete Beckman is part of the Array of Things project going on right now. 500 sensors headed throughout our city over the next few years. The data should start rolling in the next few months, and we'll keep following it. Pete, thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez is next.